We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, verse 32. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid, and took again the 12 began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and they shall spit upon him, and they shall kill him, and the third day he will rise again.
Amen.
So in here it's saying how before the crucifixion, he's telling them what will happen
right
when he's being crucified. They're going to spit on him, they're going to kill him,
right,
and then he's going to rise again on the third day.
Amen.
No other false god can do this. Only it says in my Bible that the true and living God can do it. And they didn't. They did kill him, but on the third day he rose again.
That's right.
In my Bible, it doesn't say that Buddha or Muhammad can do anything like that. There's only one God who can do that,
and
his name is our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
His only son to die. God sent his only son to die for us, and then He rose again on the third day because he loved us that much.
That's right.
He cared for us.
Amen.
Look what God has done for our lives.
Hallelujah.
And
amen.
What he's done to America. He's blessed us with so much things. We don't deserve it, but we deserve hell. We didn't deserve another way to go to. We didn't deserve the one way to go to heaven through Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve any of this to happen to our lives. We were, our righteousness was filthy rags. We didn't deserve any of this. And it says in Luke, in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
right,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah,
and that verse is the key word to answer anything that we have questions for. How to get saved and what to do when we get saved.
Right.
God loves us that much that it basically answers who saved us.
Right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Right.
He saved all us from death. He saved us from hell.
That's
the
right.
Devil thought he won, but he didn't win.
Right.
On the third day. He rose, and he defeated the devil from anything that he defeated the devil on the third day. He rose again, and he proved to us that he showed us the only way to go to heaven through him. I know I stumbled on my words a bit there, forgot what I was gonna say. Just thought what I said. Just think of what I said.
They just one difference. He talked about Muhammad and Buddha and Jesus. They just one big difference, Jesse Buzzard. You go to Muhammad's grave, he's still there.
Right.
He's dead. He's there. You go to Buddha's grave, real tiny, and you'll find him there. His bone, he's there. You can journey all the way over there to a little tomb, amen, where they put the body of Jesus when he died. And guess what? He ain't there. Hallelujah. That's just the one big difference right there. What little difference, big, what, yes, that right there is all the difference. Amen. he's risen. Amen. That's good preaching, Wyatt. Amen. Good job, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, see, them other gods, Brother Darrell, they still in the ground.
Right.
They still go over there and lay flowers and wreaths and pray to them in the ground. Amen. Wherever I bow my knee, call out on my Lord, he's there. Amen. He's there. He's there. Amen. He's risen. That was good, Wyatt. Amen.
Glad I serve a God who's alive tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Got your Bibles turned to Elijah chapter 53, or Isaiah. It's amazing how God works things out. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1 says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." It says, but he was mocked, he was spit upon, he was beaten, he was persecuted, all for our sins.
That's right.
He came and did it all for our sins. You know, and I looked up that word, transgression. It says an act that goes against the law, rule, or code of conduct, an offense. He came and died. He was bruised for a sinner like me, for sinners like us, all for our transgressions. He came and died knowing that we would fail him again and again and again. But he still did it. He still chose to say, "Lord, I'll go and do it. I'll go die on the cross for him." You know, it says right here, With his stripes, we are healed. We no longer have to worry about that place called healed because of his stripes.
Right.
We are cleansed. You know, like Brother Darrell was talking about this morning, how the devil just beats us up about what we've done. But that's all in the past.
Amen.
Because his stripes, God no longer remembers that. He casts it into the sea.
Amen.
You know, so like that song says, how deep the Father's love is for us. How deep it is that he would send his Son to die for us, to come and die, that we no longer have to worry about that place called hell. Verse number 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We're all like sheep have gone astray, and there's only one way to get us back, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only way we could have came back. There's no other way, no other payment. And all these people out here thinking they have all this money, they can pay their way into heaven. They're not getting into heaven that way. It's only one way you can get into heaven. It says, verse number 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." And like Brother Tracy was preaching today, he knew the day was coming when he would die.
Right.
He knew it. And the Bible says he could have called legions of angels,
right,
but he didn't.
That's right.
He chose to go through that affliction. He chose to come and die on the cross, take the beating, for our transgressions. I don't know why he would do something like that, but he did. His love is so great towards us. Verse number 8 says, "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and whom shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." A man that was innocent of nothing. A man that was innocent, he'd done nothing, no harm. They chose to take him and crucify him and let the evil man go free. They let the criminal go free and take the innocent man, hang him up on that cross right there. It's crazy how, and we're not, and We might think we're fine because we didn't crucify him, but our sins are what crucified him. Our sins are what put him on that cross. You know what? But he still chose to go through that affliction and die for us. Verse number 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make him soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." You know, I think it's talked about when he was on the cross. He says, "Eli, Eli, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, God, he chose to come and die for us. And when he was on that cross, that connection that he had with God was completely cut off. The first time ever he didn't have connection with God was on that cross. Just think about it. He chose to come and bear all the sins and lose connection with his Father just for us, so that we would have a way up to heaven. We would know, so that we would have that relationship with God again. You know, just think about that. He chose to come and die a horrific death. You know, I know the internet's not the best thing to get stuff from, but I saw this quote or this video the other day that was talking about Jesus. It says, "No death more painful than the crucifixion. His best friend betrayed him. His people turned against him. He was completely innocent. And everyone knew it. They chose a criminal to be released instead of him. And he's done no wrong." That's what Jesus went through for us. He'd done no wrong. But he still went through the affliction to die for us. Verse number 11 says, He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteousness servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." The eternal verse, or Romans, chapter number 5, verse number 8. "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God loved us enough to send his Son to die for us. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." All because Jesus paid it all for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We no longer have to worry about that place called hell. It's we were talking about it today in Sunday school class. You have all these other religions you have to either be born into or you have to be accepted into. This religion right here, you can just come into it however you want to. God will accept you however you are, as long as you come down to this altar and get right with him. It's a whosoever salvation. You don't have to be a certain race, a certain gender, a certain age, a certain person, have so much money. You can come as poor as you want, or as rich as you want, as small or as tall as you want. It's a whosoever salvation. That's the reason Jesus came and paid it all for us, so that we could spend eternity with him. You know, I believe many people have forgotten that today, you know, because if we would have remembered it, that every church service, we'd barely be able to get any messages in, because it'd be so many people praising, shouting, and wanting to testify. And it's the same way in America. America wouldn't be the way it is if everyone knew the love God had towards them. If everyone knew what God did for them. Go back to Isaiah and read verse 5 one more time. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He was wounded, all so we could have life and have it more abundantly.
Went through it. Most vilest person. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you at.
Can you hear me? Thank you. It's hard, y'all. But God's been talking to me all week, and especially today. And Brother Eric, I want to say I'm sorry this morning. I was trying to listen to what you were teaching, but at the same time when you was teaching, God was talking to me about my testimony. I'm going to tell you, when God talks, you got to listen. I've had a hard life, a bad life. I'm not proud of my life. I was a drug addict. I was a liar. I was a thief. I've been in every jail in Georgia I've been in. And the last jail I was in, well, before I do that, I started doing drugs when I was in 11th grade. And I started off small. Then I got to 12th grade. I got up to 6 weeks. I had 6 weeks left to graduate. And I was sitting in class. I kept falling asleep. My teacher got up and told me I need to go to the principal. So I got up with the principal. I don't remember what he was saying. But I told him, I says, I don't need this. This ain't for me. I'm done. 6 weeks after graduate, I got up and I walked out of high school. One of the worst days of my life, because it was bad. Doing drugs. I've been doing drugs ever since, all the way up till I was 50 years old. I have nothing, nothing in my name. I own nothing. But the last time I was in jail was in Jasper County. Got pulled over for drugs. Took me to jail. I was there for 6 days. And, I never told nobody this. One night, I woke up, and I was there for 6 days. I didn't have no shower or nothing. And I was telling myself, I'm going to take a shower. So I opened my eyes up when I did. There was this guy standing there by my feet, no clothes on. Told me we was going to go to the bathroom. He grabbed me, and I screamed and I hollered, and I woke up the other people in the cell, and I thought I was safe then. But they grabbed me too. And one of them put their hand over my mouth. I couldn't speak. And they began to take me to the bathroom. And I bit him. I bit him as hard as I could. And he got his hand off my mouth. And I hollered. I mean, I screamed like a little girl. As loud as I could. And I finally got the guard to come in there. And when the guard come in, they all scattered. And I got up. And I grabbed the guard. I was going to tell him, thank you. You don't grab an officer. Because he picked me up, threw me down. And three more jumped on top of me. And they got me up. They took me to another cell. When they took me to this cell, as soon as I walked in, I fell to my hands and knees. And I cried out to the Lord. I asked God, I said, God, if you'll get me out of this situation and help me, I won't do drugs no more. And I don't know how long I prayed, but I got up and I went and sat on that little bench. I don't know how long I sat there, but the officer come to the door and he said, I don't know what all he said, but all I heard was, you're going home. So I got up and I'm running, I'm grabbing everything. And I get to the door to go out, and I heard this voice that said, remember. So I get out. I call Lisa. She comes and gets me, and I looked at her, and I says, I'm done with doing drugs. I'm not doing drugs no more. That's it. I'm done. She said, okay. She agreed. And December 11th, 2019, we was in a bad wreck. We should have been killed. But God was with us. He wasn't done with us yet. So he held us and kept us safe. Now we got some cuts and we got some bruises and we got some scars for reminder what he did for us. From when I first started doing drugs, I turned 50. I did them when I was 50 a little bit. But off and on, when I didn't do them, I had the urge to do them, you know. The urge was there fighting with me. And when me and Lisa had the wreck, Alan come into our lives. And he kept trying to get us to come to church. You know me, I'm stubborn, bullheaded. Well, this one day he come up to me, he says, I'm preaching. I want you to come to our church to see me preach. I said, okay, fine, I will. So we come in, I had on my little blue jeans, my little shirt. And I was sitting there, and he preached. While I was sitting there, something tapped me on the shoulder, and I heard his voice again. And I got saved that day. And all my cravings went away.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, everything, my life has changed. It really was. And then it's been about a year after I was saved. Alan texted me one day, you read your Bible, do you pray? I said, no. He said, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray. You get more blessings. I sat there and I thought about it. So I prayed. I read a couple chapters. And I put my Bible to the side. And I started playing. I'm a game fanatic. I'm a freak. I'm a game freak. Started playing my game. And God sent me a little blessing. Me and Lisa got married in church. And then Alan texts me again. He says, you need to pray more. You need to read your Bible more. And with them, I said, I don't know. So I did what he said. I prayed, and I prayed once still. And I started reading 5 chapters a day. And God helped me get a pontoon, because I love boats. I call them platoon. They're called pontoon, but I call them platoon. And so for 2 years, I'd pray, and I'd read 5 chapters. And it was Saturday. Was it Saturday? Saturday. Tyler turned 16. We went over there for a birthday. And she asked me if she could drive my truck. I said, yeah, sure, yeah, come on. So we got in it. We went to the store, went to turn around, and we had an accident. And I don't have no kids. I have a stepchild. My truck is my baby. That's my child. I love my truck. But we had an accident, and I didn't think it was that bad. Took it to Tiny's shop. Tiny told me, he says, you need to go get alignment done on it, so we can line it back up. And I said, well, it's still dry. The same ain't nothing changed about the driving. I mean, it's still dry. Good. It's still aligned. He told me, he said, go get it lined up. You know me, hard-headed. So I go to Goodyear. We get it lined up. I take it and I tell her I need to get lined up because it's been a wreck. The guy looked at me and said, okay. And he said, I'll call you when we're done. I said, okay. So I walked home. I only lived 10 minutes from Goodyear. So I walked home. Hour and a half went by. He called. You need to come up here. I said, okay. So I go up there. And I said, how much do I owe you? He said, nothing. I said, really? Nothing? Why, it's great, man. Awesome job. Thank you, God. And he said, I couldn't line your truck up. What do you mean? He said, both your rocker arms are broke. I don't know. I'm a dummy too, so I don't know. But the rocker arms, if your steering wheel, if your front wheels, that's what they go to. They said they're cracked, they're broke. And your lip kit's broke. He said, I can't line it up. I sat there for a minute. I said, if you can't line up all that's broke, they're going to total my truck. That hurt bad. So I took it to Chinese, and I told him what he said. He said, you know what that means, don't you? I said, yeah, I know. He said, you going to leave with me today? I said, no, you got to give me one more day. Hey, give me one more day. He said, okay, bring it to me tomorrow. I said, okay. So I drove it home, and I cried all day. 2 days went by, because Lisa talked to Tiny, and they worked something out about something, I don't know. I couldn't hear what she was saying. I was mad, she mad and upset. And a couple of days went by. Well, Lisa went to work that day, and she called me. She said, you got to take the truck Tiny. I said, okay. And on the way to Tiny's shop, it takes me 20 minutes to get there. This day it took me an hour. I listened to 65 Enlightened, that radio station. That's the only station I listen to. I don't listen to country no more, none of the junk. But Tracy said it's ungodly, so I listen to it. I listen to 65 Enlightened. And on the way there, they played my favorite song, Privilege of Prayer. I love that song. That song played, and I had to pull over, because I cried like a baby. Went in. I had to sign two pieces of paper. I knew what it was. Went home that day. Alan texted me that morning, about 11 o'clock. You didn't pray. You didn't read your Bible. I said, yeah, I know. I think I'm done doing that. And he kept saying, don't give up. Don't give up on God. God can help you. God, just trust me. Trust me. Just keep, don't give up. And my truck's my baby, y'all. And I was about ready to quit church. I was. I'm not going to lie to you. But God told Alan to keep talking to me. And he did. So I got up the next morning, and I'm sitting there watching the news. I love Fox 5 News. It's what I watch every morning. And I heard a voice. All he said was, remember. So I got down on my hands and knees. I prayed. I did my chores. I got me something to eat. I put it in front of me, and I put it out to the side, and I prayed. I ate. And then I opened my Bible. I pushed it in front of me, and I prayed. And this time when I prayed, right before I got done praying, this is what I said. God, if you're willing and if you can, will you please help me fix my truck? Don't let them tow to my truck, please. That's my baby. That's what we need to get us around, to get Lisa back and forth to work, and to get us to church. Please, God, help me. I got done praying. I read my Bible. I read 9 chapters. 9 chapters. And I got done. I didn't play the game. I wasn't in the mood. I didn't feel like it. I'm watching TV. And something touched my shoulder to see if I remember. So I prayed. I got on my hands and knees and I prayed again. And I got up. And Lisa come in the door. She looked at me. She said, "You okay?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, guess what?" I said, "What?" "Your truck ain't towed." "Your truck ain't towed." I run outside to my front porch. And I let the world know.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. What I'm trying to say is, you little kids, why preaching? Whatever you preach, I'm listening. You're teaching me, an adult. And don't do drugs. Stay in school. Do what your parents tell you to do. I'm 56 years old, and I have nothing but my truck. I never own a house because I get a check once a month. My wife's got to get up and go to work every day. She gets up and goes to work every day. And all I can do is sit home because of drugs. I'm just begging you, stay in school, do what your parents say, and don't do drugs, and stay in church.